This is March 10th, and the topic this month is relationship.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. For the people, for the people that were here last week, we talked about the whole idea of this thing of gods and goddesses, and the idea that there's an embryo inside of you, and that embryo is that god or goddess, which wants to grow, just like a seed. It wants to come out, it wants to express itself, so that you can be fully aware of your godhood. So, for the people who didn't hear that part of the thing, I hope during the week you thought of the embryo inside of you. You have to think about the embryo inside of you. And you have to give it permission to grow. Just the same way as a baby would grow inside of a woman, this embryo is growing inside of each and every one of us. And it will grow more and more when you put your attention to it. Anything that you put your attention on will grow. Will grow. That's that whole idea of where mind goes, energy flows. So think about that during the week, or think of it as a seed, or think of it any way you want. But every once in a while during the week, think, oh, there's an embryo inside of me. There's something growing inside of me. And what's growing inside of me is a God consciousness, or God itself is growing, is taking over my life. That's the whole idea when they talk about surrender and all that. It's surrendering this thing that we think is our life to a life that is bigger, better, you see? And you will never miss this life, by the way. The life that you're leading now, as wonderful it can be, if you allow this embryo to fully grow inside of you, you will never miss the life that you're leading now, because it's completely different. It's a different idea of the thing. All right, with that said, last week I also talked about Albert Einstein. Now, you know, I love Albert Einstein and the little thing that he says, that imagination is more important than knowledge. But I also was saying, I thought it was an equation, and when I got home, I remembered. He was always working on a unified theory of the universe itself, and a unified theory to put all the equations and all the different laws that we have, which are only four, by the way, which are gravity, electromagnetism, and what's called the strong force and the weak force, and how they're all have to be interrelated somehow. But they haven't come up with an equation to put it together. So it was the unified theory that he was working on, and he also said about it, when we discover it, we will discover that it's very simple. It's very simple. And that is a very good thing to remember, that little word, simple. Stop making your life complicated. Make it simple. Stop thinking that this teaching is complicated. It's very simple. Life itself is simple. Just look out and enjoy it. But we want to make it all, the ego mind wants to make everything complicated. And the ego mind, of course, wants to tell you that your intellect is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And that's not necessarily true. All right, with that, and then you hear me always talking about, in life, you have to get over anything that your parents did to you. You cannot take anything your parents did to you personally. And what's large numbers of people, 80-85% of the people who are having difficulty with their lives, is because they've never forgiven their mother or father, and they have never corrected the error in their thinking. So if you have anything against your parents, just know they did the very best they knew how to do, and don't take it personally, because they'd have done it to anyone. They would have done it to anyone. So clear those things out of your consciousness. Here's something a client of mine sent me, and this is from actress Stockard Channing, was recently quoted as saying, "One of the natural processes of life is to get past your parents and forgive them and treat them as separate human beings. It's one of the obligations of being an adult. And sometimes it's unbelievably difficult, because when you give up blame, you have to acquire responsibility." You see, I still know people that are blaming. I have a friend. I have no idea how old she is, but I know she's older than I am. She always, to this day, "My mother did this, my mother did that, I'm this way because of my mother." You're that way because you want to be that way, and you're that way because you're deciding to be that way. Your mother had nothing to do with it whatsoever, and all the stuff she says about her mother may be absolutely true, but it does not have to influence her. But she still is blaming her mother for things. Don't do that. I don't even go around people who blame their parents for things. It's a exercise in nonsense to do that. And it's very boring after a while. Very, very boring after a while. So the whole idea is to take that responsibility for it. Now, I forgot that, didn't I? Back to Albert Einstein a moment. Here's a little saying that he had, which I may have read this years ago. "I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are details." I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are details. How many times have I said, learn to think God thoughts after it? Learn to think God thoughts after it. Which, do we know what they are? We have to know that they're going to be something good. We have to know that they're going to be much better than the thoughts that we are having. So, do those different things for you. This month we're teaching relationship, and that relationship is with yourself. And to have a wonderful relationship with yourself, you have to give up that idea that your parents are to blame for anything. They are not. No one is to blame for anything in your life. I was at UCLA Monday, and a young man there, well, I found out he was 57, started to talk about, he was a recovering Catholic. And he said how bad the church was, and if there is a God, God certainly made a lot of mistakes, and there's a lot of things to clear up, and there's this going on and that going on, and now he's become an atheist. The reason why I bring that up is that's an exact example of throwing out the baby with the bathwater. You can't. The Catholic Church has done a horrendous amount of harm, and probably still is. It also has brought a lot of good into the world also. So, in any of these teachings, these earthly things that we're doing, you're always going to have a good and bad going on at the same time. You must choose what you're going to do with that. You must choose what you're going to do with that. And we could all go on about all the churches, and we can go on about all the bad stuff in the world. That's not going to help you. It is not going to help you one iota. So, with that said, Andy, would you read this and pass it on?
I have a place.
I have a place.
I have a place.
I have a place.
I have a place. I got a place.
I have a place.
I have a place.
And I have a place. Why is that so important to realize that you have a place? A lot of people feel out of place. Wherever they are, they feel out of place. You have to know that you are here at this present time because you're supposed to be here. And you have something to do and something to offer that only you can do and only you can offer. You have a place in the universe. You have a place inside of the consciousness of God. You have a place with God. So if you ever feel that I have no place in the world, I have no place to go, you have a place. And you have to remember that. That you always have a place. This thing called God is never going to kick you out. So you have a place. I think that that should bring security to you to realize. You say, we boil it down to, yes, I have an apartment, I have a condo, I have a house, I have a place, I have a relationship with somebody. You say, all of those things, which are all good. But you have to know that you have a place in the universe. You see? And you're never going to be out of place anywhere you go. You have a place. You're here. So then you start to think about putting your life in what we call divine right order. In divine right order. Which means go inside. Start loving yourself. Start seeing yourself as the wonderful human being that you are. When I said earlier that this is a very simple teaching and life is very simple, this whole idea of learning to love yourself sounds very complicated, but it isn't. It's very simple. And the most marvelous thing about this idea of loving yourself is it affects everything that you do in your life. It affects your whole life if you don't love yourself. When you start to love yourself, your life changes. Things change. But there's a very important thing, and we slough by it all the time because we're doing all right. Oh, we don't have to take that time to look inside. We don't have to take that time to love ourselves. We're too busy with the world, and the world is pulling us always. It wants our attention. It wants our attention. But when you settle down and you realize that you really do like yourself, then you get peace of mind. That mind chatter stops. Especially the negative part that's maybe telling you that you're not good enough, you don't have enough, you don't do enough, whatever it's telling you, will stop doing that. Because love is always going to be love of self. It's going to be the answer to everything. So if you're having anything out of whack in your life, sit down and start to love yourself. Sit down and start to love yourself. I also had a client this week, a young lady. And I asked her if she loved herself. She had to think and think and think. And finally she said, no, probably not. But she said, no one has ever asked me that question before. And I said, well, do you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? She went blank. Completely blank. She never heard that. And she said, no one's ever asked me that. This was a young lady who is in therapy with somebody else, not me. I don't do therapy, by the way. It may appear that, but it's not. I think that's so funny, and I bet there's so many people out there that have never realized that they're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and they matter. When you start to love yourself, you realize that you are all those things. That you are all those things. Intrinsically, you have all that stuff inside of you. But there are layers and layers of conditioning on top of it. And since no one else is doing it and you're not hearing it, you think, oh, no one's thinking that anyway. Everyone's just going along the way they should be. We learn so much in life through omission. Because people don't say something to us, we make up the answer. That's called through omission. omission that you're worthy. Just saying. In my house, my father would say, if we said to him, you never say if we've done anything good. You see. And he said, well, if you do something bad, I'll tell you. If you do something bad, I'll tell you. You have to tell people that they're doing good. You have to tell people that they're doing good. If you love yourself, you have to love that person just as much as you love yourself. And what you do for that person, you're doing for yourself. We're just one big thing here. Somehow we got here, and we think we're separated from each other. And of course, we think we're separated from this thing called God. We're never separated from this thing called God. That is an impossibility. And it doesn't matter what you do or don't do, God loves you. And that's what God does. God loves everything. So learn to love yourself. Learn to love yourself. That affirmation that I gave you months ago, I am the full expression of God. Just as God is love, so am I. I am love. I am love. You have to remember that. Not Andy, not August. You are love. We love to do it, to put it out to somebody else. You know. Now bring it home and say, geez, I am love. And I'm loving myself more and more and more each day. And I also told you over the years that every time you love yourself, more comes to you. Every time you love yourself, you get more. When I say you get more, what is it? You get more love. You get more money. You get more material things. Any time that you sit down and love yourself, you will get more and more and more and more. Why that is, I don't know. But I use it in my own life, and I know that it works. I know that it works. All the little theories that we have, like manifesting or demonstrating and doing this, that, and the other thing, and you hear people talk about it, or you read the books, whatever you do, I never tell you anything or talk about anything I haven't done myself. And if I cannot prove that it works for me, I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm not going to tell you about it. You see? This works. Learning to love yourself absolutely works. So do that. And don't be afraid. I know that the ego mind wants to tell you that that's nonsense, wants to tell you not to do it, wants to say probably to you, who the hell do you think you are? You're not good enough to love yourself. You have to stop that mind chatter. And you have to know that you are love. And you have to love yourself. Up one side and down the other. Now when I say love yourself, I also mean when you're in some emotional state, when you're not doing well, when you're yelling and screaming at other people, you must learn to love yourself while you're doing that. You must learn to love yourself while you're doing that. And when you learn to love yourself, you'll stop doing it. You'll stop doing it. That's how important this thing is. And why we don't know this, and why it takes us, it took me years and years and years. I never heard this in my family. And I didn't come from a bad family. I didn't hear this in the church I went to. I didn't hear this in high school, and I never heard this in college. Now, during the 1970s, when we had what was called the human potential movement going on, I got glimpses, little pieces, little of it. Little insights that maybe this is the way to go. I may have told you this, I may not. Long before metaphysics, because I never knew metaphysics existed, I also went to therapy. Not one therapist ever said to me, Dallas, do you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter? Not one therapist ever suggested that I sit down and love myself. Not one. I bet they still don't do that. Because it would shorten the time that you spend with them, you know. I told you about my friend. He's been going to a therapist for 30 years. And why did he start? Because he hated his uncle. And if you ask him today if he hates his uncle, he'll say, yep. 30 years in therapy, and he still hates his uncle. See? Now, why would that be so different if he was taught to love himself? You see, if you're taught to love yourself and you teach yourself to love yourself, you're not going to hate your uncle. You're not going to hate anybody. You see? We're all on different paths here, but we're all on the right path. We're all on different paths, but we're all on the right paths. And we all have things going on inside of us, outside of us. We all have little problems. We all have all these things. So when you're looking at somebody, you have no idea what burdens those people are carrying. That's why we love ourselves and we love them. It's just a natural thing. And the more you do this, the more you see how it works. Sometimes it's absolutely instant, not the loving yourself. After you sit down and know that you truly love yourself, what you are desiring, what you want, what you are coveting, whatever it is, will come to you much quicker, much faster. I've had things happen so quickly that they amaze me, that it amazes me. But it's through this whole idea of loving yourself and seeing yourself as a wonderful, magnificent being. Seeing yourself with this power that we call God. Call it cosmic power. We can all use it. Something is coursing through us right here and right now. You can say it's your blood. That's all well and good. That's inside of you. There's something else coursing through you, and that is cosmic energy. And you can use that cosmic energy, and you can allow that cosmic energy to come into your body by opening up your crown chakra. You can let it come right down through. It's there. It's available. But we don't do that either. You're sick. So sit and think of those things. Think of the embryo inside of you. Think of why in the world would you ever not love yourself? What comes up in your mind that would keep you from loving yourself? I made a mistake. I did something here. I went here. Whatever. That's all nonsense. All nonsense. I said many times also, the mind, the human mind, can only think of things from the past and things that you've already experienced. The knowledge, that's all the further knowledge goes in our human minds. Because it has no other reference point. It has no other reference point than that. But this mind of God doesn't operate that way. And since you're a part of that mind of God, you're living, moving, and having your being in that mind of God, you can learn to use that mind. And then you can go back to Einstein here. I want to know God's thoughts. I want to know God's thoughts. And do you think God is ever thinking that it doesn't like itself? No. Cannot be. Cannot be. So learn to like yourself. And don't be like that young man. He was a doctor, by the way. Scary. And think that the world is awful, and you're going to blame that on God. You cannot blame anything on God. You cannot do that. Any time that we see all the horrible stuff that goes on in the world, God's not causing that. We are causing that by using our ego mind. We are causing those things. We love to blame that on God, and we love to give God credit for this, that, and the other thing. You know, how many times do we hear we go to war with somebody and we say God's on our side? Well, they say God's on their side. God's on everybody's side. But let me give you a little clue about this. And this happened, I think it was in the 1920s. They were having a metaphysical meeting here, maybe on Monterey Peninsula. And I don't remember the lady's name. And the war was raging, by the way, the Second World War. And she stood up in the meeting and said, "There is no war in the mind of God. There's no war ever in the mind of God. We do that." You see, God does not do that. Nor is God on our side and anybody else's side. Can't be. And that's what you want to think of. What is in the mind of God? Not war. What's in the mind of God has to start with love, doesn't it? And if God loves itself, and you are full of this love of God, then you must learn to love yourself. You must just learn and give up any idea to the contrary. And don't take anybody else's opinion for these things. There's no authority out there. There's no opinion out there that can harm you. But people may tell you, "Oh, you can't love yourself. You're ugly," or whatever. You see? Don't listen to people. Listen to yourself. Listen to that small voice, if you want to call it, inside of you, or whatever you want to call it, an intuition, but it's a feeling of some sort, and you get that feeling, and sometimes that feeling's scary because you sit and you say, "Oh, geez, I think I love myself," and you're sure the other shoe's going to drop or some big boulder's going to hit you on the head for thinking such a thought. Why do we do that to ourselves? Just sit and think, "I am love, and I truly, truly love myself. Everything about myself. Everything about myself." You see? And it'll work. Your life will work so much better. So much better. So when we're trying to make these things very simple, excuse me, remember the one thing. There's only ever one problem. You're only ever having one problem. And that's a God problem. It's only God problem. Only one problem. Doesn't matter if it's a relationship problem, if it's this, whatever, money, financial, whatever problem you think you're having, you have to say to yourself, "No, no, no. I'm having a God problem." And what does that mean? "I'm not believing. I'm not believing in this power called God. I'm believing in something outside causing financial difficulties, causing relationship problems." Because they're not in the mind of God. Any problem is not in the mind of God. God doesn't solve problems, people. Why? Because God doesn't have any problems. We solve problems. And we can solve problems very quickly by setting down and loving ourselves. And the answer, the solution, will come. Will come. Everything that's presented to you in life that you think is a problem is there to let you grow and to let you see this is not a problem. I already have the solution to that problem. I think the Chinese character letter is the same for problem and solution. Same. Because if you have a problem, you have to know inside of that problem is the solution. So if you get a problem, you say, oh, that's nothing. I have a solution right here. I think they go so far to say it's in one pocket and in the other pocket. The solution's here, the problem's there. Just what pocket are you looking at? But it's always going to be one and the same thing. It's just the other side of the coin. It's just the other side of the coin. So don't let that ego mind build up all these problems. The ego mind loves to build up problems for you so that you think that you're alive. You know, look at all the drama queens that run around and they're only doing that because it stimulates them and they think that's life and that's why I'm alive. But that's, you know, the biggest hoax that's ever been perpetrated on the human being. If they have to have drama, if they have to have all that stuff in life. You do not have to have that. All you have to do is sit and be. All you have to do is sit and be. I forget who said if you just sit and be, the whole world will come and unfold itself at your feet. You know, because we're connected to everything. We're connected to everything. But it starts with that idea of self-love. So, simple, 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 simple. One problem, a God problem. One solution, love yourself. One solution, love yourself. Don't make things so complicated for yourself. Don't make them complicated like that. Learn to love yourself. Have you learned to love yourself?
I think so.
Yeah. And what would that do if you learned to really love yourself? You're saying that relationship that didn't work for you would not hurt you in the least. Everyone wants to get into a relationship. Everyone wants a relationship. Do you see how many dating services there are available for people because they want to put people into a relationship? Two people have to make a relationship. Two people have to make a relationship. I think that's wonderful. I think you should have somebody. But the only relationship that ever counts as your life is the relationship you are having with yourself. The only relationship that counts is the relationship you are having with yourself. And if you're not having a good relationship with yourself, you are certainly not going to have a good relationship with somebody else. You're saying, it can't be. You cannot hide your consciousness. You cannot hide your attitudes. You see, you can't hide any of that stuff. It works itself out. Why? Because you have made that your hard drive. And your hard drive is love. You can put soft things on top of it, whatever those things are called in computers. You can put programs on top of it. But the hard drive is always going to be love. It's always going to be love. So when you're thinking all those bad thoughts about yourself or about other people or about the world itself, that's a program running on top of your hard drive. But your hard drive doesn't change. It's always going to be love. You can run any program you want. You know that. Everyone has a computer. You can run any program you want. But the hard drive is always going to be love. How many times have I said, become a witness to your own thinking? Realize what your mind is doing to you. It's always telling you a story. Why don't you make it tell you the story that you want to hear? So you can come up with any story about yourself. Doesn't matter. But you come up with bad stories about yourself. And then that affects your whole life. That affects your whole life. But they're only stories. Even if you think they were real in your childhood and all that kind of stuff, most of it is the story that you're telling yourself, because the mind is not accurate with the past. And it glumps things together. You know, you can, by now, if you were up, grew up in a home where they had birthday parties for you all the time, you can no longer separate them. You can't separate them because you'll get them mixed up. Oh no, he was at my fifth part. Oh no, I think he was at my fourth. No, he was at my third. You don't know anymore. The mind in the past is not accurate. But yet we walk around thinking that it is accurate. And we're very proud of ourselves when we remember all these things exactly the way they were. We don't remember anything exactly the way it was. Things you did this morning, you could repeat, and they're not going to be exactly what you did. They're not going to be exactly what you did. I threw that in there because that is how you watch the movements of your mind. And then you have to get very alert and not agile, but very quick, I would think, to catch it before you are not only listening to that story, you're involved in that story. So you become that story. You have to, detach yourself. That's just a story. See? But we sometimes, we do it so quickly that we think that it's made sense to us. And it doesn't. What examples could I give you about that? How many people play scenarios in their mind? And they're always the worst scenarios. Do you play good scenarios? You do? Good. But when you go to do something, let's say, let's say you have a problem with somebody. Do you rehearse what you're going to say to them? Do you have a scenario? They're going to do this and I'm going to do that and this is going to happen, that's going to happen. See, that's all nonsense. That's all nonsense. It's a waste of your time and energy. Then you can come up with another scenario. Oh, I'm going to handle it this way, that way. Or I'm going to punch them out when I get to see them. You know, how dare they do that to me? It's just scenarios. You can come up with a million different scenarios. You have to, here again, you have to decide, what story do I want to tell about myself? What scenario do I want? So here again, very easy, very simple. I've said to this before, this teaching is about learning to think the thought that you want to think and to feel the feeling that you want to feel. That's what we're teaching here. God is a given. You know, we shouldn't. God's just a given. But we are the ones who have to take that responsibility to develop our mind that we can control it. That we can tell it what we want it to say to us instead of allowing it to run rampant. And we're never taught that. Never. You can be graduate from with a doctorate degree from Harvard and not know that you can control your thinking. You see, And that's what life is all about. So here again, it's very simple. God problem. Loving yourself. Controlling your thinking. Controlling your thinking. Don't let other people control your thinking. Don't let the world control your thinking. You're controlling your thinking. And the greatest thing about that is you can think any thought you want. Infinite supply of thoughts. So pick the one that feels good to you. Pick the one that makes you happy, that fills you with joy, that fills you with peace. That is the job that we're supposed to do here. That's the job we're supposed to do here. You see, when we incarnated on this planet, we lost something. Children don't have, you know, the firstborn, newborn children and all still feel very connected to the universe. They still feel very connected to the universe. But as we grow, the world takes our attention. The world takes our attention. And of course, the people around us aren't doing that, so we're not going to do that anymore. And we forget that we are connected to this thing. We forget where we came from. And we have to learn to love ourselves again. Why that is, I don't know. I don't know. But if you do believe in this thing called God, or this power, this wisdom, and so forth, then you have to believe in yourself also. Because, why is that? Because you are that wisdom. You're not separated from God. If you say God is intelligent, God is wisdom, God is health, God is this, God is that, you have to claim those same attributes for yourself. In the Bible, it says you are made in the image and likeness of God. Now, in metaphysics, we know that God does not look like a man or a woman. In metaphysics, we say you are made in the image and likeness of God inwardly. Inwardly. So there's where that love comes in again. Inwardly, there's love in here. Let's let it out. Let's not be afraid of it. Let's let it fill our whole being. But if you learn nothing else in life, learn to love yourself. And all the rest of the answers will be there for you. All the rest will be there for you. How many people during the week think that they're worthy, they're deserving, they're totally lovable, and they matter? Do you do that during the week for yourself? Or just when you're here? So with that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
You see the big smiles that come to your faces and all when you do something like that? Because it feels good. And you're not telling yourself a lie, because all those things are true. All those things are true about you. And that's what you want to remember. And you must give yourself that gift to love yourself. Can you see the difference that you would make in could you see the difference it would make in your life if you started to really love yourself? You wouldn't have all the problems you would think you're having. You wouldn't have all that mind chatter going on. You see? Now, when I say love yourself, do I mean that makes you absolutely perfect? Oh, perhaps not. But see, you don't have to wait till you're absolutely perfect to love yourself. You can start loving yourself now. You can start doing that little thing for yourself. And if you're in a relationship, that's absolutely wonderful. That's absolutely. And you can learn to love more and more in that relationship. But you can never give yourself up. You cannot give yourself up. More relationships are ruined because somebody thinks they have to give up something. Somebody thinks they have to give up something. A woman, she has to give up her job and she wants to have children. I mean, there's all kinds of things. The only relationship that is balanced, that is not based on filling needs, is the relationship you have with yourself. All other relationships require need. You do this, I'll do that. And it's uneven. Human relationships are always going to be uneven. It's not a 50-50, and it's not equal. But the relationship you have with yourself is an even relationship. And you can fulfill all your needs by yourself. So if you're in a relationship, think of those things. If you think the person doesn't appreciate me, or I do more work than the other person, I do this, that, and the other thing, it's always going to be that way. So give that one up. The human relationships are going to be that way, and they're not going to change. So you just have to know that. But if you love yourself, it's not going to bother you. It's not going to bother you. See? You fill your own self. You fill your own needs. And then the rest, the human relationship, is just icing on the cake. It's just icing on the cake. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But think of it. Loving yourself is the only answer, and is the only relationship that will ever be equal. The only relationship that will ever be equal. And you people, most of you, some of you, have been in and out of relationships, so you know what I'm talking about. But don't let that ego mind keep you from a relationship. Know that that relationship is not going to fulfill you the way you want to be fulfilled. But a relationship with yourself and learning to love yourself will fulfill it all. Then the rest, as I say, is just icing on the cake. You see? But we've been sold a bill of goods. We're always being sold a bill of goods. And that relationships are supposed to do this, 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 and this. The only relationship that's going to do all that stuff for you is the relationship you're having with yourself. With yourself. And I'm not down on relationships. I think everyone should have a relationship with somebody else. But not until they have a wonderful relationship with themselves. Not till they, all their black holes, all their needs are fulfilled. Till all their needs are fulfilled. Needs are one of the things. And if you're in a relationship and you're thinking about having a children, you know, you have to give up all your needs when you have children. You no longer have need. Your needs do not count. And that's one of the big ones about having a child. You discover that. And let's talk about relationships. A relationship with a mother and a child. The mother knows that the child needs. And she doesn't say, well, that child doesn't fulfill my needs. You're saying. She knows she has to fulfill the child's needs. So the only relationship that is equal is the one that you're having with yourself. So have a wonderful relationship with yourself. Learn to love yourself. Learn to make life easy and simple for you. There was a book out, gave it to somebody. It was called Simple Abundance. I think it was Simple Abundance for Women or something. Simple should be your buzzword always. Make things simple. Don't make things difficult. But we look at something, we look at everything, and we just say, oh, well, that'll take forever, and this will, and we immediately make things difficult. Instead of saying, oh, I can make that simple. I can make that simple. Nothing wrong with that. Why people think, that things have to be complicated or convoluted and all, when you can make your life easy and you can make your life simple. Learn to love yourself, and it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.